Conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our second call for RS-102, Getting to Know Your Community. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun and Tongkun Chong Council. My name is Roger Bauer. Some of you might have met me at last week's conference call. I'm hosting this call for Caroline this week. She had some personal stuff that she had to take care of, so please bear with me as I'm learning the tech side and the facilitation at the same time. Our agenda today will include introductions, a brief overview of this week's content, a discussion of strategies that respond to local characteristics that contribute to inclusive, accessible, and meaning recreation. We'll begin with a round of introductions. Last week, our circle went from west to east. This week, I'd like to try to go from smallest community to largest. So what we'll do first is we'll just do our introductions in the order that we join the call. And then if you can tell me the population of your community, then I will make the list up for the next kind of go around. So the list that I have is Christine, Kelly, Eliza, Carly, Nathan, Megan, and Maxime. So please introduce yourself and tell us how many people live in your community. So we'll start with Christine.
Hi, I'm Christine. I live in Whitehorse currently. I can't remember, but I think there's like 35,000 now or 30,000 people here. I'm not exactly sure.
Fair enough. Yeah, I got the good ballpark there. Thank you. Kelly.
Hi, I'm calling from Faro, and we have about, 462 people here.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Liza and Carly, however you want to kind of go one or the other.
Hi, everyone. It's Eliza. So Whitehorse, I think the stats that we found this morning were that Whitehorse is getting closer to 42,000. So we've seen a lot of growth.
Fantastic.
Hi. This is Carly. And, same. Me and Eliza are just sitting right beside each other. So same.
Awesome. Thank you. Nathan?
Right now, Fort Liard's, well, I shouldn't say right now, 2019 is the latest one that I've seen, and it's 542.
Awesome. Thank you. Megan?
Hi, it's Megan Hashi. I'm from Baker Lake, and I think we have just over 2,100.
And Maxime, people have kind of stolen your thunder.
It's all good. Don't think there's much to say, but I'm working and living in Whitehorse.
Great. Well, thank you very much. It's actually really cool to see the size variations that we have in our communities, from the smallest community, Kelly and Farrell, with just over 460, to the largest of, well, there's a fair amount of us from Whitehorse, to just about 42,000. So thank you for following that. And that will now be our speakers list order for when we go. So just so we're aware, when we go to do our question answers, Kelly, you'll go first, then Nathan, Megan, Christine, Eliza, Carly, and then Maxim. Unfortunately, you're at the end again there. So last week, we shared some facts and stats about our communities. It was really great to hear your perspectives and your understandings about some of the factors that can influence the delivery of recreation. Hopefully you'll be able to use some of this information in the future, be it for grant applications or around developments, basically for anything that you're going to do for recreation planning. This week, we're going to be exploring the underlying characteristics of our communities, values, traditions, customs, local culture, relationships, and interests, and see how that influences our communities and how they engage in recreation. Getting to know a community's personality by connecting with its citizens helps you to engage people in recreation, both participants and volunteers. Getting to know a community at this level requires a lot of time, patience, and an open mind. In smaller communities, recreation leaders often use an informal approach, like chatting around a campfire. Not only does this get you information, but it helps to build relationships with leaders, folks who are not from the community, and it helps you to learn local culture, traditions, and protocols. Activity 4 asks you to share how you are most likely going to connect with folks and learn about your communities. From the answers that you folks gave, I'm just going to pop them into the chat as well. Ooh, that was not the right button. My apologies. It seems like most folks are going to be taking the approach of following a community Facebook page or website. So 7 people went with that one. 6 people went with chat with recreation participants. 6 as well for find out priorities from community leaders. 5 folks thought they would learn best by participating on sports teams or in recreation activities. 3 people would talk to people at the post office or grocery store. 3 would go into local schools or daycares. 3 would invite community members for a chat. 1 would hold community members, and no one went with visiting elders. I used to live in Faro, and I found that when I was there, I very easily fell into one pattern or another. So for me, it was chatting with folks as they came into the rec center. Unfortunately, though, falling into one pattern sometimes doesn't give us the full picture. Sometimes we need to push ourselves outside of our comfort zone to connect with what we may be missing or connect with folks we might otherwise not connect with. So what way of connecting in your community is most comfortable for you, and what approach would you like to try? So what have you done and what's working, and what would you like to get better at? So we'll start with Kelly and Faro.
Hey, guys. So this is really a really good question for me because I just accepted a new position at the rec center here in Faro. So I'm going to be the rec programmer, but it's going to be a casual position. But I'll be there, I think, probably pretty consistently. So I think this week's conversations will help me a lot. So I would really like to, I like to talk to people face to face. I'd like to have the interactions with them. You know, you get to have a more personal conversation, I think, and there's no room for interpretation when you're just reading a message. So I would really like to chat with the people in the community. My son is at daycare, so I constantly have conversations with them. And then I'm also a teacher on call. So I do spend some time at the school, got a relationship with some of the teachers and the students there. And I've also made friends with a lot of the elders and seniors in our community. So I'm hoping to be able to connect with them and build more relationships with them too. So I want to do it all. Maybe
that's
I'm going
awesome.
To go a little too positive, but that's my plan.
That's fantastic, and congratulations on the new position. I'm sure I'll be touching base with you shortly for work stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kelly. The next we have up is Nathan. So what ways do you like to connect with the community, and what approaches are you looking at trying?
Usually, same deal, talking to people that come to the rec center and, like, the youth center. A lot of, like, you know, parents will go there with their younger youth, and I talk to community members, like, around the community. Earlier in the summer, I did, like, a survey just to kind of, like, see what, like, you know, what direction the community would like to go for recreation, like, you know, what events and what equipment they like. And pretty soon we're starting our first event on the 29th through the Elders Society, the Working Together with Elders program there in the NWT. And then we'll be doing like regular monthly events, like you know, 3 events a month, I believe. And that'll just be like solely like for the elders. And that's something new that we're going to be trying. And I'd say the only other another thing that I'd like to start would be maybe like Facebook, but right now our Hamlet has like a policy against like work-related social media stuff. So for the meanwhile, that's kind of, you know, a no, but I'm going to try to push for it though, as like, you know, you can reach a lot more people through that.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear that you have a lot of exciting programming coming up. And you bring up a good point, just making sure that you're aware of your organization's policies around social media. Information collection is really important, even when you're looking at connecting with your community. So thank you for that. Next up, we have Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan Hashi. As I said, I'm from Baker Lake. I don't have too much experience connecting with community members. I have been living out of the community the past few years, but I know that a lot of people use Facebook, and that's really popular. People also use the radio a lot, so if you wanted to, like, announce a meeting or something like that, you could announce it on the radio. People have been doing posters a lot lately. And, yeah, we also have the community center and the youth center. Personally, I'm a lot more involved in the sports side, so I'm, like, on our athletic board, and I'm a coach as well, so I really like connecting with the youth. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you've got a good mix of kind of social media, the postering, and the in-person. Thank you for sharing. Next up, we have Christine.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with, I would say, online connections. I've gotten, like, people from all over North America to, like, donate stuff to the event I'm planning for the summer. And I've got a sponsorship for my work in disc golf. But I guess I struggle with, like, the in-person connections. Sometimes just it's a small community, and just navigating that can be challenging at times. I mean, I still do it. I do it quite a bit, and it's, with COVID, there isn't really as much in-person connection anymore. But I would say my strength is definitely online, and that I definitely like to develop my in-person networking skills and being more comfortable with asking for help from people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think any of us can say that COVID hasn't had an impact on our ability to do in-person, be it networking or programming. So it is definitely a challenge, and absolutely respect that that's something that you want to work on. The online thing is fantastic, and I'm really happy to hear that you're able to kind of branch out outside of the territory, it sounds like, and get the support that you're looking for. Thank you for sharing. Next up, we have Eliza and Carly.
Okay, so it's Eliza. I'll go first. So I think for me, I'm super comfortable chatting in person with members in the facility. My position is wellness coordinator, so I'm dealing more with the fitness side of things, whether it's drop-in or registered programming. So I'm super comfortable connecting with those people who access our gym or fitness classes and programs. And then I think something that I'm maybe not as comfortable with would be when we're outside of the facility, kind of being that forward-facing public figures representing the city outside of our little, like, safe environment of the building. Just dealing with people who maybe don't know as much about the facility or what's going on. So I think with COVID, that's obviously been a little bit of a challenge. We had some pop-up events planned over the summer that we ended up having to cancel kind of short notice. But hopefully we can kind of revision that and see if we can add them back in for this spring and summer, because I think it will be a really good opportunity to connect with people who don't necessarily know what's happening at our facility.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Carly?
Yeah, I think I'm actually the opposite of Eliza. So I'm not very comfortable going and approaching people directly using the game center and asking them, like, what they would like to see more of and how is it going and what are we providing. And so I mostly get that information from my inner circle, my colleagues who are the ones who may be talking to those people and sharing information. So I think I would like to work on actually joining a drop-in, talking to the people who are here, seeing how it's working for them. And I think there's also potential to try different ways of approaching people via, if it's radio for the older generation, or Instagram, I think has a lot of potential. Again, that's something we're also working to try and get to. I think there's different generation has different ways of contact, connecting with people.
Yeah, I think that's a very valuable point to bring up. I know for me, it's an adjustment going from Toronto to Faro, where I haven't used a poster in, I don't know, ever. And then to find out that that's actually the best way to reach everybody is to post her at the post office and the grocery store. So very good points. It can be intimidating to approach folks we don't know and to kind of get comfortable with getting information from them. Thank you for sharing. Last but not least, we have Maxime.
Yeah, thanks. I think, I guess going last, it means I can hear all the good ideas, but it also means all the good ideas get taken. I have a lot of overlap with a lot of what people have said. We do basically, we're a collective of organizations that work with youth people or young people, youth people. And so what's worked really well is like emailing and Zoom calls, and there's been a lot of that stuff. But in person, we want to do a lot more in person. You know, it's hard with COVID and with the outbreaks right now in the Yukon, but trying to do more in person would be key. And looking for ways to connect with our communities. We're trying to expand throughout the whole territory because we're working on a territory-wide youth strategy. So finding out ways to connect with all the communities is one of our priorities too. Thanks.
That's fantastic. It seems like folks have a really good mix about what they're working on now, what they like to do, and also have a really good awareness about where kind of they want to develop and areas that they want to make sure that they're reaching that they may not be reaching now. Let's take a moment to consider some of the community characteristics that might not be found on the government websites. Slides 18, 19, and 20 suggest that you might want to learn more about your community's culture, local leadership, or participation pattern. When considering your community's culture, learn about the history and language, food preferences, traditions, values, art, music, and religion. It basically goes on and on. If you grew up in your community, then there's something that likely you don't know. Perhaps there's a group of folks whose first language isn't the same as yours, or a group of people who value solitude more than being social. Try to understand the leadership styles in your community. Get to know your elected officials, but also connect with people who are considered role models or influential. Take the time to observe and identify participation patterns. Who volunteers? Who coaches? How do people like to volunteer? Are there any special events that are really big in your community? Who participates in those? And also, who doesn't? Consider these informal ways of getting to your community. So what I'd like folks to do now is share something that they've learned, that you've learned about your community and that's really surprised or impressed you. Let's pop that into the chat. Just a reminder, our order is Kelly, Nathan, Megan, Christine, Eliza, Carly, and Maxim. And then for the next one, we'll reverse it. So, Maxim, you'll go first for the next question. So, Kelly, what's something that you've learned about Faro that's really surprised or impressed you?
I learned that over 40% of our population here in Faro are 55 and older. So I had known that a lot of people seem to like to retire here in Faro. But I knew that we had a lot of young families moving in. So I was really surprised that over 40% of our population were 55 and older. But as I said in my answer to last week's RLA, we have a really, really active senior population. We've got a lot of events that they go to and that they put on. So I think it's really great, but I also think that maybe we could do a little more socializing for them that doesn't involve as much activity. So hopefully I can make some changes in that.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Nathan, what surprised you about your community?
The statistics are from 2009, but I was surprised that Fort Liard had like a nearly 40% population who smoked at the time. It was at 39.8%, and then compared to the rest of the NWT, that's like almost like 7% like higher than like, you know, the rest of the NWT's population. And it's pretty apparent when you walk around, like there's tons of people that smoke. And from that, I kind of learned that, like, you know, it might be good to, you know, have some programs or have some learning events for the youth
just to kind of like, you know, show the harms of it. And it's one of those things that's already like, you know, pretty like, you know, it's done pretty well, especially like, you know, like, you know, through the schools and stuff with all their advertising. But, you know, like it might not hurt, you know, to hopefully try to get that message through to them, you know, a lot. But, you know, with those kind of things, there's always the side effect of like, hey, don't do it. But then it makes them want to do it even more. So.
Yeah, you tend to do exactly what you tell them not to. I think that's a fantastic example, though, of how you can take a concrete statistic and then turn that into programming ideas. So thank you for sharing. Megan?
Yeah, so I already knew that Nunavut had a fairly young population, but something I learned is that Baker Lake has an average age of 22 years old, which seems fairly young. Like, I'm 22, so I was surprised by that. And so it just shows how much we need programs for the younger population, especially because a lot of them aren't in school. So if we can have those programs for younger people, that would be good.
Yeah, that is a very young average age. That's really good information to have. Christine?
Hi. I guess, like, the one thing, I mean, I wasn't really surprised by most things, but I was kind of surprised at the demographic, that how large, I can't remember the number, but, like, the largest percentage of demographic was 25 to 60, with a large percent being 30 to, I think it was 45 or something, which is my demographic. So I was kind of surprised about that. And it kind of made sense in the sport that I'm interested in, because most of the people are in our age group and we are trying to recruit youth. However, I mean, by looking at that demographic, I mean, youth is the second highest, but I mean, it kind of makes sense that we are recruiting people in that age demographic, if that is the largest demographic in the Yukon. It kind of makes me feel a little less bad about our lack of youth and maybe elders in our sport I'm interested in. Not that I'm not gonna market or promote it to those demographics as well, but it gives me a little more understanding of like how like who I should be targeting.
Absolutely, you can absolutely help direct who you want target for your programming and also the method. A couple of folks mentioned Facebook and postering as ways of reaching out. And if you're working with a younger demographic, that might change how you actually advertise your programming. So really good information to know. Eliza and Carly, you two are next.
So I actually chose to not profile Whitehorse just because there were a number of other people from Whitehorse. So I didn't want to kind of relay the same information. So I actually chose the little community of Mount Lorne, which is just outside of Whitehorse. And the one thing that I found really interesting about that community of Mount Lorne is that they have a really high percentage of volunteerism in their small community. And I think that just comparing to Whitehorse and what we see when we are reaching out to our community in Whitehorse, trying to get people to volunteer, it seems like the amount of people who are willing to volunteer is on the decline, and you see that a lot with like the older generation or the baby booming generation. So I found it really interesting that the Mount Lorne community has really fostered that positive environment, so that they have volunteers from like youth all the way up to elders in their little community.
It's a really good comparison to make. Community volunteers often make or break recreation, so it is nice to hear. Do you remember offhand what the percentage was for Mount Lorne for volunteers?
They didn't have stats particularly for the amount of volunteers, but like everything in their community, from their community garden, they have a dump or like a transfer station, their fire department, most of their programming is all run through volunteerism.
Hmm. It's a good fact.
Yeah.
No, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Carly?
Yeah, so I didn't actually end up doing the assignment yet, so I don't have stats. But one thing I have noticed from White Horse is the amount of new young people moving here and people moving from other parts of the world. So I think that's why our population has jumped so much in such a short time. And you can really see it here even in our drop-in programming, that drop-ins that never used to be as popular now are full all night long. And they're from people who recently moved, who are trying to find ways to connect with the community and connect with their own community. And so, yeah, I don't have any stats, but what I've really noticed, the amount of new people moving up here is really big.
You bring up a fantastic point. Stats are useful, absolutely, in knowing the numbers, but there's also the informal way, such as observing and keeping a watch on the programmings and seeing what programs are getting more full. And those learnings can be just as valuable to planning recreation as the formal, you know, there's 72% of snowflakes are round. I made that up, by the way. So thank you very much for sharing. Maxim?
Yeah, I was surprised. I've moved to the Yukon. I'm one of those young people that recently moved to the Yukon, actually. And I've been in Whitehorse for a year and a half, roughly. And I've been really surprised how many facilities there are, like for a town of 35, 42, whatever we're going to call it. There's so many, many things here. Like, and I know it's also the hub of the Yukon and of the North, but like the CGC and all the trails and all the gyms and things like that. But things are also very centralized because of all the facilities here. Everything is in Whitehorse, and so I feel that kind of marginalizes everywhere else because people just come to Whitehorse to do stuff and get services and stuff.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I can speak again from living in Faro. There's at least a once-a-month trip down into Whitehorse for one reason or another. There are a lot of facilities up here. We're quite fortunate with our trail system, like you mentioned, CGC. And there's a lot of great programming that's coming up with that. Can make it more difficult for folks, especially in communities like Mount Lauren, who are close to Whitehorse. How do you balance out your individual programs in a smaller community that's within an hour drive to Whitehorse? Most folks will probably take the drive, so very good point there. Thank you. In early learning events, you were introduced to the framework for recreation. Slide 16 reminds us the goals of the framework and that recreation is there to make a difference. For recreation to make a difference, it needs to be supportive and accessible and inclusive. Take a moment to listen to this short paragraph from the framework. More than any other service, recreation has the ability to reach all citizens and to bring people together in a non-threatening, pleasurable atmosphere. However, a rebalancing of recreation is necessary if it is to strategically address barriers and constraints to participation faced by some people and to celebrate the rich diversity of Canada's population. We did mention on this call that the population of Yukon, specifically in Whitehorse, is getting more and more diverse, which is fantastic, and that might impact some of the ways that we decide to run our recreation. Let's take a couple moments to explore rebalancing of recreation and what it means to us. To me, rebalancing means readjusting so that I can better meet the needs of my community rather than just the needs of a few people. So the question that I'd like folks to consider, as you begin to get to know your community better, what do you want to change or do differently? For this one, we'll go in the reverse order. So, Maxim, I'll start with you, and then we will go with Eliza and Carly. So, Maxim, what would you like to do differently or change?
I guess building on the idea that, or the fact that things are very centralized in Whitehorse, for the Yukon context, I'd like to, you know, figure out ways to make services more accessible for everybody in the Yukon, not be so reliant on Whitehorse. That kind of like keeps the power imbalance going. So figuring out how to better serve the demographics that might be overlooked by like mainstream recreation facilities and activities, and designing things to meet meet the needs of those who might be overlooked.
They're really trying to take programming into UConn-wide as opposed to just the microcosm that is Whitehorse. That's fantastic. Thank you. Eliza and Carly?
I'm sorry. I had to just pop out of my office for a second. Can you just repeat the question quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you get to know your community better, what do you want to change or do differently?
I think fostering a really strong relationship with our Indigenous communities around Whitehorse is something that I think we all need to do better in recreation. And I think that when the Canada Game Centre was built, recreation in Whitehorse kind of went from more grassroots to really being like facility based out of this building. So I think that we've kind of lost connection to some of those kind of different groups in our community that don't necessarily come to the building to be active in like a physically active kind of way. So aside from like our Indigenous community members, but even just like our arts and culture and things along those lines, I think are relationships that we need to foster and build programming for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually drawing a blank, so I think I'm going to pass on this one, but I'll listen to everyone else's answers.
No problem at all. Christine.
Did you say Christine?
I did.
Okay, perfect. So my nonprofit organization that I started is actually to implement change. It's to promote diversity in disc golf, and our target demographics are women, people of the queer community, people of color, people with disabilities. A lot of those I self-identify with, and people on my board do. So we're trying to really sort of go into that sort of more grassroots sort of organization of like just like spreading the word and getting looking at barriers to participation. It's really interesting what I'm learning about other groups. Like, we'd really like to tap into the Indigenous community. However, I'm not Indigenous, so therefore I feel that we'd like to get someone on our board who does have more connection to that community. But yeah, basically I can just speak to disc golf and just like, it is basically mostly cisgender, white, male, middle-aged men who are all lovely, wonderful, respectful and welcoming people, but there's a lot of systemic barriers for a lot of other groups. So like that's, I guess, the big thing I would want to change because it's kind of written into our mandate there.
Fantastic. So increasing the diversity in the sport can be a challenge, especially when, like you're saying, there's kind of a preset culture around it. It's really interesting to hear that your organization is basically based on that change. It's a really cool way of approaching it. So thank you very much for sharing. Megan.
Yeah, something I've noticed growing up in my community is that we're very much sport and physical activity focused, which isn't a bad thing, but it does mean that we don't have a lot of variety. So, like, the majority of our programs in recreation and sport are like open basketball nights, hockey, and like soccer, like just mainstream sports. So I think something that I would want to do differently is bring more variety to the community. So like more art, more clubs, more traditional focus, things that help build skills and experiences for people. I think that would be really great.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. Often when people think about recreation, their first thought is that kind of sport-based recreation. But as we all know, recreation can encompass everything from arts, language, culture, to playing broomball. So thank you for bringing that up. Nathan.
I think in Sport of the Yard, I'd like to introduce some more like cultural art programs. Sport of the Yard is big for like the birch basket art and stuff. It was like revitalized I don't think 50 years ago or 60 years ago or something like that. Because for a while there, their birch bark, like basket and other, you know, pieces of art was not hidden, but taken away for a bit, and it was revitalized. And I know it's a big part of like the community for the elderly and some of the, like, you know, say 30 and up older, like, women. So then I think it'd be good for me to start programming for that. And another thing would be maybe for me to kind of find ways to influence council, like mayor and council, a bit more, maybe with, like, you know, statistics like these, just because they've prohibited, like, a lot of, recreational activities, and it kind of makes it, like, you know, difficult to facilitate, like, you know, any type of sports. And in response to all that, though, like, we're opening up, like, the fitness center, so that's, like, one thing for the adults to look forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. You bring up a good point about council. Sometimes folks who are kind of in charge of the direction of the community don't necessarily understand everything that there is to know about recreation, and it's a really great role that we have as rec leaders, that we can help kind of bring to the forefront the why we want to do something and the why things are important. I hope you can get that buy-in. Last but not least, we have Kelly.
I think that Faro really needs to focus on culture and tradition a little bit more. I guess even a few other people have mentioned, you know, there's lots of activities with basketball, volleyball, lots of sports that are happening. And I think we just need to focus on, we've got a really, really great group of people here in Faro who come from all over the world. And we've got a 20% indigenous population here. So I think we just need to focus on including all of those people a little bit more.
Absolutely. I think we've had some really good conversations about how folks want to expand recreation, change recreation in their communities. From what I'm hearing from a lot of folks, it's about basically increasing inclusion across the board, whether it be with different populations, but also with the programming that you're doing. So really great to hear that folks have a good kind of sense of the pulse of the community and what's missing. Sometimes it can be a challenge to kind of look at your rec that you have going and see what's missing, because it's not there. So if it's not there, how do you see it? So I just wanted to thank everybody for sharing. I just wanted to talk for a minute quickly about the RLA that is due on Sunday, the campfire chat. So if you haven't already, just make sure that you have some time to chat with somebody in your community and to think about what you've done. So this particular one is going to be a little bit more focused on yourself. So there are a couple of suggested questions that are in the activity itself. Just pick a couple of them and then respond to the questions below in the post form there. If you need to go over any of the kind of informal approaches that we've talked about, slides 18 to 20 will include the informal approaches so that you can help to get to know your community a bit better. You can chat with an elder, longtime resident, friend, whoever really. Just really the whole point of this activity is to get you to have a bit more understanding about what the recreation that folks are missing, or kind of what they're doing in the communities. So you don't have to answer all the suggested questions, but we would encourage folks to pick a couple of them and kind of focus on it from there. Does anybody have any questions about anything that we've gone out today, or any other comments that they have thought about since we kind of started the call? Okay. Well, I thank everybody for joining the call today. I also thank folks for kind of going along with me. This is the first call that I've facilitated, so thank you for your patience. I will stay on the line for a couple minutes afterwards if anybody has any questions about the required learning activity that's due on Sunday or anything else. I'm more than happy to answer. If not, I hope everybody enjoys their afternoon. I would challenge folks to try to learn something new about your community every month. A lot of times folks can get stagnant and they get stuck in, oh, I know everything. My community is so small, therefore I know everything. I can guarantee you that there's always something new to learn, and there's always another side to every single story. This is a great opportunity for folks to challenge ways that they're comfortable getting information. For me, it was the in-person. I was not so comfortable doing the in-person and going out to folks that I wasn't particularly close to and asking them questions. Folks don't necessarily give the kindest feedback when you ask them a direct question, but even challenging feedback can be really useful for you to integrate into your future recreation programs. So just a reminder, the RLA is due by Sunday. I will stay on the line for any questions, and if you have any questions before you're done the RLA, feel free to message either Caroline or myself. So if there's nothing else, thank you all for attending today, and I hope you enjoy your afternoon.
Thanks, Roger.
Thanks.
Sure.